This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. The month of September designated as Recovery Month, and we wanted to look at that topic today. Sam Denny is the Director of Opioid Treatment Programs for Adapted Integrated Healthcare. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I guess, first of all, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this field.
Okay. So I've been with ADAPT in their opioid treatment programs for about 2 years now. Prior to that, I was in Mercy Medical Center's ER working there as a charge nurse for about 10 years before I switched over to substance abuse and recovery services.
So what interested you in making the switch?
Change of pace. We saw a lot of the similar demographics that we treated in the emergency department that we did with the opioid treatment programs. Over the last few years, we've definitely seen an increase in the need for services, and it was a great opportunity to kind of develop a program and help those in need.
So, and have you always been kind of in the medical field?
Yeah, my whole career has been in the medical field. I've been a nurse for a little over 10 years now, all medical, ER, and then just in the last 2 years, it's been in substance abuse.
So what interested you about this whole area when you went this direction?
In reality, just the need. The development of the program, the ever-changing kind of substance use treatment within the community and in Douglas County specifically, and just really kind of focusing in on the treatment aspect and developing programs to utilize resources for those helping, in their active addiction, seeking recovery.
So when we talk about recovery, I mean, that's a word everybody's heard, but just to get everybody on the same playing surface, maybe, how would you define recovery?
Yeah, the federal government's active definition of it is to improve an individual's health and wellness to reach their full potential. A lot of those individuals you'll see is really kind of striving to be abstinent from illicit substance use or abuse of opioid addiction, pills, or in mental health, it's just to kind of get recovery from schizophrenia, long-term chronic conditions like bipolar. It has a lot of different definitions, but really in reality, it's just getting into that in that recovery aspect of getting into abstinence from illicit use.
So any idea how long the term recovery has been around?
I couldn't find a definition of how long it had been around completely, but I know the recovery month's been here since about September of 1989. The recovery month's been every month in September from 1989 until current day.
Now, can it apply when you talk about recovery? Because the common thing is drugs and alcohol, but what about other things? What about other things that might apply?
Yeah, I think I touched upon this just a little bit ago, but I think mental health is another one that a lot of individuals struggle with in terms of getting into that recovery. There's not cures for a lot of mental health conditions like bipolar, schizophrenia. A lot of those are medicinally or non-medicinally needing to be treated. So I think, we really focus in on substance abuse and illicit drug abuse, but mental health can also apply in terms of being in recovery from that, since there aren't these cures that we're allowed to get from these conditions.
Now, is there a percentage estimate as to how many people in Oregon are addicted to something?
Oregon's unfortunately one of the top states in the nation to struggle with, addiction and mental health. And then we're in about, roughly about 20% of Oregon has used addiction, has 20% of those 18 and older have used illicit drugs in the past month or struggle with a behavioral health condition. So it's pretty highly prevalent in the state.
And that's kind of a startling number.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, it affects a lot of individuals.
When you look around, let's say you're at the grocery store, let alone maybe if you work for a large company, and you just look around and how many people there go, one in five?
Yeah.
And now you don't always know every place is not the same, but that's a lot of people, and that means there's a lot of need for help.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, specifically with substance abuse in Douglas County, you know, we're struggling with the fentanyl crisis right now. I mean, fentanyl is very prevalent. It's a synthetic opioid that's highly addictive, and that's a lot more powerful than heroin. So that leads into, you know, a whole new source of addiction and treatment and trying to utilize resources to prevent, you know, the increasing rates of overdose in our county as well as in the state. It's scary times out there in addiction and mental health.
Well, and it wasn't that many years ago I heard a presentation by someone who was in mental health then, and they kind of laid out four different substances, just their addictive potential. It started with marijuana, worked their way up. You got up into opioids and meth and things like that. But then when you've got the fentanyl and even some of the fentanyl derivatives, or that's maybe not the right word, but the where it's essentially even a lot more powerful than regular fentanyl. Mm-hmm. It's kind of mind numbing. And periodically in the arrest logs, we see you know, folks, and they will spell it out and say this was enough fentanyl to kill, you know, a huge number of people.
Yeah. Yeah. The scary thing with fentanyl in particular is it doesn't take a lot of the substance to end up causing an overdose, especially those who are opioid naive, meaning that they don't necessarily have an opioid tolerance, never taken any kind of opioid. So it's very scary how little it takes to do overdose, which is why, you know, Recovery Month is so important in getting information out there and resources, and also kind of working with local resources such as the HIV Alliance to really get Narcan, which is the reversal agent for fentanyl and opioids, into the hands of individuals who are in their active addiction so that they can, you know, protect and not have the increased rate of overdose that we see in the county.
And I know there's been a big push to get more people to have it at their places of business or any places that larger crowds gather. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Narcan is number one defense with overdose prevention. You know, HIV Alliance has grants from the state, the feds, really everywhere. We're trying to get this into the hands of anybody who either is in their active addiction personally or any family members or friends who have those who are in their active addiction, especially with opioid addiction. It's one of those things that's very heavily needed to get into the community to prevent these increasing overdose from fentanyl.
So if 20% of people in Douglas County are addicted to, or in Oregon are addicted to something, any idea what the number is locally?
You know, I think we're pretty much on par for, you know, at or around that percentage. I know in Douglas County ourselves, you know, any of our treatment models or treatment programs within ADAPT, I mean, we definitely have a high rate of addiction locally. Mental health, I'm not sure exactly the percentages, but I know, you know, strictly from the opioid treatment program, we have over 200 people enlisted in my program alone, and that's only one of many programs that we have through ADAPT that are recovery-based and helping those in their active addiction.
And if I understand it correctly, sometimes some of these illicit substances, drugs of various kinds, can lead to the mental health issues up the road.
Yeah, correct. So a lot of substance abuse can, you know, exacerbate underlying mental health conditions. You know, you see a lot of those meth-induced psychosis. So if anybody has, you know, schizophrenia, bipolar, any of those underlying mental health conditions that are already untreated, when you add a illicit substance on top of that, especially methamphetamine, you know, you see incredible exacerbation of those mental health issues, which leads to all sorts of issues and complications in their treatment.
So when we talk about recovery, a lot of times people are familiar with recovery group activities. It could be AA, it could be meeting with a counselor, things like that. Is working a pathway of recovery, does that always require being in around other people, sort of having that input, or is this something that people can kind of do on their own?
Yeah, one thing you'll find with recovery is it's really individualized. So recovery is not the same for everybody. It's not one size fits all. Some individuals will do great in group settings. Other ones may find that individualized and doing it alone, it works for them. You know, in my program alone, we really emphasize group therapy. There's a lot that can be learned from other individuals who are either in their active addiction and working towards recovery, or those in their recovery that are helping those in their active addiction. So, you know, you can bounce ideas, what works, works, what doesn't work. It really kind of depends. Recovery, again, is not just one size fits all. So group may work on one end, but an individualized approach may work on another.
And for a lot of people in recovery, my understanding is oftentimes it's honestly a bumpy road. It may be three steps forward and a couple of back sometimes. And to have the additional input, not only of a mental health professional, some kind of counselor, but the other people in your group that are struggling with this as well could be real beneficial.
Yeah. So, the one big thing about recovery is that relapses happen. So setbacks are going to be normal. That's going to be part of that recovery. A lot of individuals will say this is lifelong. So there's no cure to addiction. It's going to be a lifelong struggle. So, yeah, there's going to be setbacks. There's going to be possibly relapse. It's all part of that recovery road. But the most important thing is to, keep on that road, to get into services, whatever is going to be utilized and help you to get back on track and get into your active recovery.
What are some of the more common things that lead to relapse?
Yeah, so stress. So number one, stress is going to be a number one trigger for a lot of individuals. They could have financial stress. They could be dealing with their own mental health problems. I mean, there's, changing the seasons. We're now raining in Roseburg to the point where we're having flash floods. So that messes with a lot of people's depression. Anything that can really offset somebody's recovery that is out of the norm. So, whether or not be a financial impact from losing their housing, it could be an unexpected ER visit that they had for some sort of ailment. A lot of individuals' stress is probably going to be the number one, relapse potential.
What are some of the others?
Mental health. So, combination, if you're struggling with not only your substance use disorder, but also your mental health, if you aren't on top of your mental health and say you're not taking your mental health meds, that could affect your balance in terms of remembering to stay on track, or your coping mechanisms, they may falter as well. Again, financial and housing is going to be huge. Not a lot of individuals in their active recovery have stable housing. So, that's going to be another one that's going to be really important to that. In the healthcare in general, if you're sick, if you're not feeling well, a lot of individuals will use those kind of opioids or any kind of other substance to make them feel better. That's another big potential.
All right, more when we come back. Sam Denny, Director of Opioid Treatment Programs for Adapt Integrated Healthcare. It is Recovery Month. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1, and tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. We're going to give you a fall update on the YMCA of Douglas County with Stephen Stanfield, the executive director. We're talking about Recovery Month today. Sam Denny from ADAPT. He's the director of the opioid treatment programs at ADAPT. And after all these years of dealing with opioids, it is one of the few words that every once in a while I don't say exactly right, much to my unhappiness when I do that. Opioids have really rocked the nation in a lot of ways, backing up a decade and a half. They were commonly prescribed for things, and then people began to realize that maybe it was not such a good idea.
Right. Yeah. So, in recent years, we definitely have worked hard towards decreasing the amount of opioid prescriptions that are used not only in primary care but emergency services. And we definitely have, I think, seen a decrease in the amount of prescription opioids that are prescribed. There's definitely a more focus on non-opioid prescription pain medication that's been seen in Oregon.
And we saw a number of years ago, and I guess we kind of go through phases with various substances, but it seemed like people were getting addicted to various opioids, which led to behavior. I mean, it was not in the maybe common boxes, the people that would fall prey to this. It could be just about anywhere in society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, this isn't unique. That addiction isn't one demographic or one characteristic or one individual that it really primarily approaches. This can happen to anybody. I know a lot of the things that we've heard in the past would be starting on prescription opioid medications plans for, you know, a broken bone or, you know, something similar in the emergency department or the primary care. But it can be, you know, anybody is going to be affected by addiction. It's not going to be unique to anybody, and it doesn't discriminate. It can really have its effect on anybody.
So what does it take for someone to realize they need to deal with their addiction and try to move towards recovery?
You know, a lot of substance use treatment is going to be individualized, and I think that's going to be individualized as well. You know, there's a lot of different reasons why people end up getting into recovery or seeking services. It could be for themselves, whether or not they just recently survived an overdose and they're now realizing, like, hey, I need to get help. It could be for their families. You know, a lot of individuals will want to be there for a mother, father, brother, sister in their time of need and be fully present and not under the influence of addiction medicine. Addiction medications. And, you know, other ones will do it for their children. You know, a lot of those will want to be there and be there, like I said, fully present without the influence of any kind of substance. And it really is individualized. A lot of people have their own story as to why they went into treatment. And, you know, a lot of in the past, a lot, if you ask them, they always love to tell you their story as to why they got into treatment or what ended up making them seek services.
And yet sometimes people can go through treatment, be in recovery for a very long period of time, sometimes, you know, a decade or two, and then a trigger comes and they relapse again.
Yeah. So, you know, I think me touched on this a little bit before, but recovery is typically lifelong. You know, I know that, again, individualized, I think you might see people differing on that, but a lot of the general consensus is that recovery is lifelong. There's no cure for that, for addiction. And so, yeah, like I said previously, relapse is going to be part of the recovery aspect, and really is that negative stigma is really kind of fighting that, in terms of just because you relapse, just because you're now, you know, suffering back into your active addiction and not in recovery, doesn't mean that you aren't, you know, not worth the resources, that you are, you know, worthy. You just need to get back up on the horse and, you know, continue in your recovery, because that is going to be expected. That is a possibility that relapse or missteps may happen.
And I know probably that brings the term that I've heard for years from people in recovery of basically it's one day at a time.
It is, yeah. One day at a time. You know, individuals say that every single day they're fighting their addiction, whether or not they're in their active addiction or in their recovery. It's every single day they're in that battle, and, you know, striving to maintain that recovery. But it is a day-to-day struggle, and it's going to be a lifelong journey.
So what about local resources available to help people who seek to get into recovery?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, ADAPT, you know, we have so many resources available in the community. We have mental health services, primary care. In our integrated model, we have detox services for those looking for a short-term detox off of illicit substances and other substances of abuse. We have our long-term residential, mental health, my own program, the opioid treatment program, if somebody needs a higher level of care than outpatient. ADAPT's integrated model, you know, I always love, because we have a no-wrong-door policy. That meaning if you go into our primary care office by mistake wanting, you know, addiction medicine, then we'll kind of connect you to services through no wrong door. You know, if you go into primary care, we're going to connect you to those services that you need, make sure that you get pointed in the right direction. Other sources, you know, HIV Alliance is huge. Dane Zahner and his team here locally provide Narcan and a lot of harm reduction measures like needle exchange. They do a lot of HIV, Hep C testing, a lot of preventative measures that also connect to services. And then we have some outpatient medication assisted treatment programs with primary care over at Aviva and Evergreen. And then we partner with Mercy Medical Center. They always, if they come into the ER, they have great relationship with ADAPT and other resources, and they'll connect to services as well.
And in recent years, the kind of increased partnership with law enforcement.
Yeah, so we've really kind of been trying to work on the relationship between our programs and those that are incarcerated with the local law enforcement. They've been amazing with connecting to services and allowing our own staff in ADAPT to go into the jails and connect those that are currently incarcerated to services. It's been a great help. It's a huge need. And I know at the federal level, there's a big push for us to continue that collaboration between the local law enforcement and recovery services.
So for Recovery Month, are there particular events taking place?
Yeah, so, Recovery Month, there's a lot of local, state, and federal events that will, just kind of get the announcements out there about recovery, education, and celebrating those in their active recovery, celebrating those that are working in recovery services, much like ADAPT staff members. But one local event that we have is going to be ADAPT's 5K run. That's going to be this Saturday. September, I think 29th is going to be?
30th.
Oh, it's going to be the 30th.
Yep.
So September 30th, we have a 5K recovery run. It's a free event for everybody that wants to attend. We're going to have community event members there at 8 o'clock. Registration will open up at 8:30, and we will be starting the run at 9 o'clock. So it says a 5K run, but if everybody wants to walk, that's fine. Don't feel pressured into running for that 5K. We're going to have music, performances, and we're also going to give everybody a free t-shirt who wants to participate. And so that's going to be coming up on this Saturday. And you can find more information at adaptoregon.org if you want to find out the website and get more information.
And it sounds like you've got speakers and things happening for a few hours at that.
Yeah. So we'll have speakers, performances, events, music, free food. So it'll be a great event in terms of celebrating recovery. So it'd be great.
And again, if people want to get in touch with ADAPT, what's the best way to do that?
We can check out our website at adaptoregon.org. That's going to be where all of our resources are, not only for the 5K run, but also the all the recovery and treatment services that we offer, in addition to our mental health, primary care, and other services that ADAPT offers.
All right, Sam Denny, Director of Opioid Treatment Programs for ADAPT during Recovery Month. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.